Matthew chapter 27, verse 11, if you will, stand for the reading of the Word of God.
Jesus.
And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest, and that phrase is a confirmation of what he was just asked. In other words, Jesus was saying, I am. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Father, we are thankful this morning for this wonderful service in the presence of God we've already felt. I need your anointing. I ask you to help me to be able to speak as the oracles of God. I pray that you would bless this congregation. Our focus would be upon the Savior this morning. We remember what Jesus suffered for us, how he gave his life for our salvation. I pray that even the children would listen attentively this morning and hear what the Lord has to say and be reminded of Jesus and his love and his compassion and our responsibility to him. And we'll give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to speak for just a few moments this morning on the question that Pilate asked, What shall I do with Jesus? What shall I do with Jesus? This is the dilemma of every soul, not just Pilate. This is the dilemma of every soul. What shall I do with Jesus? Pilate was the governor of Judea, the Roman governor. He had power and authority from Rome, and he had the power to pronounce the sentence of death. And so the Jews, when they arrested Jesus, brought Jesus to Pilate because they wanted to kill Jesus. But they didn't have the authority to kill him. They were living under the dominion and laws of Rome. And so they brought him to Pilate seeking permission to kill the Son of God. And when they brought him to Pilate, they accused Jesus of saying that he was a king. When they had him in their court, they accused him of saying that he was the Son of God, making himself equal with God, they said he's blasphemed. So they were going to kill him on that basis. But they understood that saying that Jesus is the Son of God, or claimed to be the Son of God, they didn't feel like that would carry any weight in a Roman court. But if they accused him of saying that he was a king, it would seem to be that Jesus was an insurrectionist, that he was a rebel against the authority of Rome. So that accusation would carry some weight in a Roman court. They brought him to Pilate and said, this man said he's a king. Pilate wanted to know. He asked him. He went there and said, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said that he was. Pilate understood that Jesus was there, not because of any wrongdoing. My text says that he knew that for envy, the Jews had delivered Jesus. This man who was supposed to distribute justice, this man who was supposed to act on the basis of truth, this man heard Jesus say that my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight to deliver me. But he said, for this cause came I into the world. For this reason was I born, that I might bear witness to the truth. Again, Pilate had a question. What is truth? And this man who had Jesus standing before him, who could not escape, wanted to escape the responsibility of pronouncing judgment, but could not escape this responsibility because of his position. He must make a decision about Jesus. And he asked the question, what shall I do with Jesus? Pilate is in a quandary. He has the advice of his wife ringing in his ears. She says, she sent word to him while he's sitting on the judgment seat, have nothing to do with this innocent man, this just man. For I am troubled over a dream that I've had about this man. So he's received a warning from his wife. Don't have anything to do with this man. I have had a dream about this man. And Pilate is troubled about his wife's dream. So he understands that there's something unusual about this circumstance. What am I going to do with Jesus? And his wife says, leave him alone. Let him alone. I've had a dream about this man. Then there's the voice of the multitude. And they are crying, crucify him. Crucify him. Put him to death. What shall I do with this man? And they're screaming, crucify him, crucify him. Then on the other hand, Pilate has the voice of his conscience. And his conscience is telling him, this is no ordinary man. Be careful what you do with this man. The Jews, there was two occasions, two sessions with Pilate. The first session, Pilate asked him, are you the king? He understood that Jesus was from Galilee, and he sent him to Herod. Herod sent him back to Pilate. In this second session, Pilate had brought Jesus before the multitude again, said, behold the man. They said, we want him crucified. And they expressed the real reason. He said he was the Son of God. When Pilate heard that, it disturbed him. He was afraid. He went back inside where Jesus was. And he asked him, listen to what he asked him. He said, whence art thou? Where did you come from? He did not ask him, who are you? He said, where did you come from? Pilate was troubled about this man. He said he was the Son of God. He'd already witnessed enough about Jesus that there was a disturbing his conscience about him. His wife had said, leave him alone. He's a just man. Pilate knew that Jesus had done nothing wrong. 3 times he comes out and says, I find no fault in him. His conscience is troubled. There's something in his conscience telling him, this is an innocent man. Be careful what you do with this man. He said he was the Son of God. Pilate has got a decision to make, weighing the voice of his wife, hearing the voice of the multitude, and the voice of his conscience telling him that Jesus is not your usual ordinary man, and he is a just man. Pilate is supposed to dispense justice. He knows the right thing to do. I'm telling you, he was not in a quandary about what was right. He knew the right thing to do. He knew the right thing was to pronounce Jesus innocent and turn him loose. But Pilate made a decision, and he made a decision based on the voice of the multitude. The Bible tells us that he scourged Jesus, turned him over to the authorities, and said, go ahead and crucify him. The reason that Pilate turned him over to the multitude is because he listened to the voice of the multitude crying, crucify him, crucify him. He ignored the voice of his wife. He ignored the voice of his conscience. He listened to the voice of the multitude crying, crucify him, crucify him. Now I want to tell you, brother, Jesus is on your hands. The Son of God stands in your court. Everybody in this place has got to make a decision about Jesus. Your conscience is going to tell you to pronounce Jesus innocent and to believe on him and to trust him and to follow him. But the multitude around you in this world is still condemning the Son of God. They're still crying, crucify him. And you've got to make a decision with your conscience saying, this man is innocent, and the world saying, crucify him. You've got to make a decision about Jesus. Many people walk away from Jesus, refuse to believe on Jesus, because the multitude don't think very highly of him. And they understand that in order to make a decision for Jesus, they're going to have to suffer some rejection from the world. And Pilate understood that. He knew his job was at stake. And he understood that if he made the right decision about Jesus, he'd lose his position. He'd lose his power. He'd lose his place in the world. And so Pilate made his decision based on the attitude of the world. Hear me, brother. Pilate paid a high price for listening to the voice of the multitude. And Jesus is in your court this morning. And you have got to make a decision about the Son of God. You know he's innocent. You know that Jesus did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Pilate examined him and brought him out 3 times, come out 3 times before that multitude and said, I find no fault in this man. And it wasn't because he wasn't trying to. He was certainly not a friend of Jesus. But this man who was an enemy of Jesus could find no fault in him. And I'm telling you this morning, you know he's innocent. You understand he's the Son of God. He's in your court. And you have got to make a decision about Jesus. What shall I do with Jesus? Now I want Sister Judy to come to the piano this morning. I'll tell you, you've got 2 choices. You're either going to crown him or crucify him. That's your choice. You remember, brother, that Dulles Messer preaching here last year. I'll never forget it. Brother Dulles, y'all, I'll say this, not just for this to get back to him, but Brother Dulles is one of the best preachers on the person of Jesus I've ever heard in my life. And Brother Dulles preached to us about Jesus. He told about coming home from a revival. He said he went into his room and he was just worshiping God, glorifying the Lord, thinking upon Jesus. And said while he's worshiping Jesus, he said, "Oh Jesus, if I had been the only person on this earth, you would have gone to the cross and gave your life for me." And he said in that moment, the Lord spoke to his heart and said, "Yes. And if you had been the only person on this earth, you would have crucified the Lord of glory." For all of us have two choices. We either crown him or we crucify him. He's either going to be your Lord or you're going to reject him, push him aside, and say, "I don't want anything to do with this man." But Jesus is in your court. You have got to make a decision about Jesus. And it is this decision that's going to decide heaven or hell. This decision that we make about Jesus is going to decide heaven or hell. Now listen. Pilate's wife said to Pilate, "Let him alone." But he couldn't let him alone. He had to make a decision about Jesus. And you can't ignore him either. You can't just say, "Well, I'm not going to make a decision." You are going to make a decision. You're either going to decide to accept him or reject him, crown him or crucify him. The Bible says, Jesus said, John said, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Oh my, the only reason you wouldn't come is not because Jesus has not been good to you. The Lord has been good to you. The Bible says, "Do you not know that the goodness of God leads us to repentance?" In this service here this morning, if you haven't thought on the goodness of God, I'm telling you it's because your mind was somewhere else instead of here. God has been good to you. And do you not know that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Jesus is good to us. It don't matter whether we're a sinner or saint, Jesus is good to us. And the reason he's good to you as a sinner, and the reason he's good to all of us, not because we deserve it, because he loves us. And he's concerned about us. And he wants to win your heart.
Yes, he does.
Oh, yeah. When I was courting this little girl over here on the piano, I did what I thought I needed to do to try to win her heart. I did some things that backfired. You know, I sent her, I lived in Georgia and she lived up here. I sent her a bouquet of flowers. I didn't realize she didn't care a thing about flowers. And, you know, I thought I'd really made a sacrifice. And she never mentioned it. And finally I asked her, "Did you get any flowers?" "Oh, yes, she did." But it didn't mean anything much to her. But I was really trying to win her heart. And I'm telling you, Jesus is seeking to win your heart. You know he's innocent. But your problem is your heart. That's your problem. Your heart. And Jesus wants to win your heart this morning. We're going to have an altar call. I want you to crown him this morning. The Bible said that thou shalt believe in thine heart. God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as Lord. That is, if you crown him. And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.